Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chof Gimel, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. So the topic has been Shechita, specifically Shechitas Chulin. Stating that, the Gemara digressed, and the Gemara went from discussing Shechitas Chulin to Malikas Ha'oif. Malika was very similar to Shechita. Anytime a carbon was brought in the form of an oif, a chatas oif, or an oilas oif, rather than doing Shechita with the oif, what was done was Malika. And there was a Mishnah and Gemaras that discussed some of the halachas of Malika, specifically comparing and contrasting Shechitas Oif Chulin versus Malikas Oif Kotcha. Once the Mishnah mentioned Malika, the Mishnah digressed and discussed the birds that are kosher to be brought as an oif in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically Toirim or Bnei Yoina. And the Mishnah mentioned kosher b'toirim, pasul b'bnei Yoina, kosher b'bnei Yoina, pasul b'toirim. Then the Gemara discussed, so what exactly are those shiurim? Meaning, when does a bird become kosher to be brought as a tar? When does a bird become kosher to be brought as a ben Yoina? And then the Mishnah and the Gemara discussed an in-between stage, what's called Tchilas Hatziyuv. And the Gemara wasn't sure if that shiur of Tchilas Hatziyuv, which seems to be some in-between stage as far as the maturation of the bird goes, is it a shear that we're just not sure about, or is a beria b'fnei atzmai? Regardless, along the theme of the digression of the Gemara, Reb Zeir is going to ask another shaila, which has nothing to do with Masechtas Chulin, but it jives with the digression of the Gemara. Boy, Reb Zeir, ha'omer harei olai oilas behema. If somebody says he's going to bring a carbon oila as an adavo, it's going to be a behema, and then he got specific. He said min ha'ayil oy min ha'keves. He wants it to be either from an aisle or from a keves. Now, a sheep, the first 12 months of its life, a male sheep that is called a keves. The first month of the second year of its life, meaning the 13th month of its life, it's what's known as a palgas. After that, it gets known as an aisle. Now, this person said he's going to bring it min ha'aisle or min ha'keves. So keves would mean that it's 0 to 12 months. Ayo would mean it's 13 months forward. What he didn't mention was palgas. Says Reb Zeira, what would happen if this person was heavy with palgas? Say he brought a palgas. Was he yoitza or was he not yoitza? He said keves or ayo. He didn't say palgas. So at first glance, you would think he can't fulfill his nether by bringing a palgas. Says the Gemara like this. Reb Zeira explained, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I have no shaila. The Amar who holds Ber Yehava. He's of the opinion that a palgas is not a suffix. This in-between stage, whether it's a keves or an aisle, but rather it's a separate stage. There's a stage called palgas. How do I know that? At the time we learned in the Mishnah, krivu, maybe all of niske aisle. If somebody brings a palgas as a oilas nadava, so he has to bring nesachim together with his behema. How much nesachim does he bring? So he brings the same nesachim that you would bring if you were bringing an aisle. So a keves had its share via sahin, the Ayil had its share, which was a shlisha sahin, in the event that he's bringing a palgas, so it's a mishnah, mesachtes paro, so he has to bring the sachim. How much nesachim does he bring? He brings the nesachim of the ayil. But at the same time, if he said that he was going to bring an ayil, he can't fulfill his neder by bringing this palgas. For Rabbi Yochanan, regardless, Rabbi Yochanan said that, how do you know that the amount of nesachim that he's supposed to bring together with a palgas is the same as the amount of nesachim that you bring when you bring an ayil? He learned it from a pasuk. It says, oilo ayil, and from the word oy, he said, l'rabbi says a palgas. Now, if you have a pasuk that's being marba, the nesachim that you're supposed to bring for a palgas, what do you see from there? That a palgas is not a suffix. It's not pshat. We don't know what a palgas is. Is it really a keves, like an animal is for the first 12 months of its life? Or is it really an aisle, like it's going to be from 13 months forward? Because if it's this suffix, then the Torah doesn't have to talk about sveka. It's like Rashi said on the bottom, on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, Umi Ika Sveka Kami Kutcha Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a suffix. So why does the Torah have to address a suffix? Ela, my apalgas is not a suffix. What a palgas must be, it's a beria b'fnei atzma. It must be this in-between stage. There's keves, there's palgas, and there's ayil. If that's the case, it's poshet, said Reb Zeira. Ha'oimah rei olai oilas behemah min ayil min ha'keves. He can't bring min a palgas, because a palgas is not an ayil, it's not a keves. What was Reb Zeira's shayla? Ki tiboylach, ha'olim b'dabar palgas. My shaila is according to Bar Palda, who explained that Mishnah a little bit differently. Again, the Mishnah had said that if somebody brings a palgas, he brings the nesachin of an aisle. Rabbi Yochanan said, how do you know that? You know that from a pasuk. But Bar Palda said something else. He said, Maisi umasni, that really what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to bring the nesachin of a palgas, and you're supposed to make a tanai. Pasha, what's the Tanai? The Tanai is, I'm not sure if what this palgus is. If the palgus is a keves, so then the revia sahin that I have to bring, because I'm bringing a keves, that should be kadosh, and whatever's extra should really be chulin. And if it's an ayil, then everything should be kadosh. But so what was from Zayir Shai? Let's beforeish about Pada, right? But Pada is clearly saying that it's a safek. Otherwise, why are you making a Tanai? But the Shaila Reb Zayir had was, what is the nature of the Tanai? Reb Zayir wanted to know what the text of the Tanai is. Me Amrina, do we say the Tanai is Ba'ayel Bekeves Masna Beberia Loy Masna? That when he makes this Tanai, there's only two stodim that he has to take into consideration. I'm not sure if this is a Keves, I'm not sure if it's an Ayel. Or either more, perhaps there's a third Sa, Beberia Nami Masna. He has to really say three things. I don't know if this is a keves. If it is, then I want the revia sahin to be kadosh. Anything above that should be chulin. If it's an ayil, I want it all to be kadosh. And oh, maybe it's a palgus. And if it's a palgus, I don't have that oy that Rabbi Yochanan had. The Torah never addressed in a sachan of a palgus, which means you don't bring any nesachan at all. And if you don't bring any nesachan at all, then the Tanai is going to be that all of it should be chulin. But regardless, Rabbi Zera understood in Bar Pada, that Bar Pada learned that it's not a Beria Bifnayatzmai for sure, because if it's for sure Beria Bifnayatzmai, then we would know what you're supposed to do with the Nesachim, that you wouldn't be making this Tanai. But he was clearing whether Bar Pada had a tzad that it's a Beria Bifnayatzmai, or he didn't even have a tzad that it's a Beria Bifnayatzmai. Meaning Bar Pada, who holds that if somebody brings a palgus, he has to make Tanayim, because they're not really sure what you're supposed to do with the Nesachim, how many tzadim are we trying to juggle, is according to Bar Pada? Is it maybe it's a keves, maybe it's an ayil? Or is it maybe it's a keves, maybe it's an ayil? And even a third side, maybe it's a beria. And for that, Reb Zera said, teiku. Either way, boy, Reb Zera. Again, me inyan, le inyan, boy, se inyan. Oy, ma reo, lai lachmi toida, min hachomet, oy, min amatzah. If somebody says he wants to bring lachmi toida as a carpet, and he says that I wanted to bring either min hachomet or min amatzah. So he seems to have covered all the possibilities, right? No, behavi siur. And he brought it in the state of siur. Is he yoitza his obligation of bringing the lachmi toida that he said he was going to bring? Or can he not fulfill his obligation of lachmi toida? So what is seer? So seer is discussed in a Gemara Masechtas Psachim, as you would expect. And it's Machlokes Remei and Reb Yehuda, A, what exactly seer is, and B, how you're supposed to treat seer in halacha. So matzah is unleavened bread. You take dough and water, put it in an oven, you're going to get matzah. If you add yeast or some other agent that causes the dough to rise, then what you're going to end up with is chametz. Seer is when dough is in the midst of rising, but this process hasn't been completed. So it's nishtahin nishtaher. It's not matzah because you added yeast, you added something to cause the dough to rise, but at the same time, it hasn't fully risen. Thus, lahalacha yesh lachgar. How do you look at dough like this? Do you treat it as matzah or do you treat it as chametz? And it's machlekes Remeir Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir says that the way you look at seer is you look at it as chametz. However, whereas chametz ordinarily is chayv kares, kaloicho machmetzes v'nichr so anefesh himi Yisrael, if somebody eats seer, he's only going to get malchus. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the way you look at seer as being chametz, but Rabbi Yehuda says there's no kares if somebody eats seer. Additionally, there's no malchus if somebody eats seer as well. So seer is for sure not going to be treated as full-fledged chametz. The question is if somebody eats seer on Pesach, what happens? According to Rabbi Meir, it's a chayv elavin. It's still very, very chomer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not even that chomer. It's aser, but there's no kares, and there's not even going to be malchus. So Rabbi Meir takes a much more stringent position as far as what the halach is if somebody eats seer. But there's another machlekes from Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and that is what exactly is seer. Rabbi Meir says that as soon as the dough changes color, so apparently as dough rises, two things happen. Number one, the color of the dough changes. It takes on a pale color as it starts rising. Number two, it starts developing cracks. And that's considered the process of the dough rising, and that's when we have to start viewing this halacha not as matzah anymore, but now as chametz. According to Rabbi Meir, as soon as the dough starts changing colors, it's already called seer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that would not be seer. In order for it to be called seer, the cracks have to start developing. Another chumrah that Rabbi Meir has over Rabbi Yehuda. So, according to Rabbi Meir, as soon as the dough changes colors, it's already seer. That's chumrah number one. It's a very early stage when we look at it as seer. Chumrah number two, if you eat seer, you get malchus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't become seer until it starts developing cracks. That's a kula. And number two, the second kula is, even if somebody eats seer, he's not going to get malchus. So again, Rabbi Zeir declared a shaylo. If somebody said, a re'alei lachmi toida min hachametz oy min amatzah, and he brought Tzir. Is he Yoitza or is he not Yoitza? So the Gemara says, let's see. Tzir the man, who are we going according to? Is Tzir the Rab Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda? Do we mean what Rab Meir calls Tzir? And we're declaring the Shaila, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rab Meir call Tzir? As soon as the dough changes colors. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold about such Tzir? It's matzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't become Seer until it starts developing cracks. It's matzah ma'al yaseir. It's regular matzah. Either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, do we mean what Rabbi Yehuda called seer and we're clearing the shayla according to Rabbi Meir? What's Rabbi Yehuda seer? It started developing cracks. What does Rabbi Meir hold seer is? As soon as it changes colors. According to Rabbi Meir, if it develops cracks, it's regular chametz. Then chametz, so then it's regular chametz. And then Rabbi Zeir has no shayla. Either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Meir, Elamai, maybe we mean Rabbi Meir seer according to Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir's seer is when it changes colors. What's the halacha according to Rav Meir by such seer? You get malchus, says the Gemara, but the lucky allow chametz. So if you get malchus for eating it on Pesach, it certainly sounds like it's chametz. So again, what's Rav Zeir's shayla? Elo, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. The shayla was Rabbi Yehuda's seer, which is when it starts developing, according to Rabbi, not according to Rav Meir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you don't get malchus. Certainly there's no chorus, but at the same time, you can't eat it on Pesach. Am I? The shayla is, how did Rabbi Yehuda look at this seer? What are the two tzadim? Sveika hava, was Rabbi Yehuda not sure whether seer is chametz or matzah? Thus, Rabbi Yehuda said, you can't eat it. But Rabbi Yehuda also, we're not going to give you malchus, because you can't give malchus to somebody that doesn't have Erem Yisafik. So if it's a safik, then this person who said, he could be yaitza by bringing seer. Why? Because either it's chametz or it's matzah. And his tanai was either chametz or matzah, or either a ber yehu, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a ber yehu. It's like a bird that's betchilas atziyum. It's like a palgus. It's a ber yehu. It's a nishtahin nishtaher. It's not matzah. It's not chametz. If it's not matzah and it's not chametz, for some reason it's usher to eat on Pesach. There's no malchus. But the bottom line is, if someone says a real lie, lach mi toidim and a chametz and a matzah, you wouldn't be able to be yoitza. Says the Gemara, I don't understand this whole shayla. Meaning, Rav Zeir is shayla. Ha'oimah real lie lach mi toidim. And he said, I'm going to bring him in a chametz and a matzah. The question is, could he bring it from seer? And Rav Zeir had this whole shayla. Says the Gemara, this is Menachos 101. How in the world could you do something like this? Rav Huna said, ha'oimah real lie lach mi toidim. Let's see, somebody says, ha'real lie lach mi toidim. So what's the halacha? Mevi toidim. You have to bring a regular carbon toida. No such thing as just bringing lachmi toida. It's not a real carbon. Rav Huna said it. He said, if somebody says a real lachmi toida, you have to bring a regular carbon toida. Now, what's a regular carbon toida? You have to bring a carbon. It's a shlamin. It has its own shulchan aruch, but you bring a carbon shlamin. You bring 40 breads. 30 of the breads are matzah. 10 of the breads are chametz. Once you have to bring a carbon toida, vilachma, and obviously you have to bring breads together with the toida. Hala yada hai gavri, ichametz with the laisi matzah, imatz with the laisi chametz. So, how is this going to play a role practically? If a person says, he has to bring a carbon toida. Once you have to bring a carbon toida, you have to bring 40 breads. 30 have to be matzah, 10 have to be chametz. How could you bring seer? You don't know if it's matzah, you don't know if it's chametz. On the tzad, it's matzah. You might have too much matzah. If on the tzad, it's chametz, you might have too much chametz. You don't know what's going on. At the end of the day, you're going to have to bring what you have to bring. So how is this going to play a practical role? You know, Rav Zeir almost sounded like he was saying, a person who could make a neder, he says, I'm going to bring lachmei, just the breads, and I want it to be either chametz or matzah. So he could customize his lachme toida offering, and we're going to go along with it. Okay, that's a nice shayla. If he said chametz or matzah, what about this in between? What about there's no such thing? The only way you bring lachme toida is if you bring a carbon toida. And once you bring a carbon toida, you have to do what you have to do. The Torah tells you what you have to do. You have to bring 40 breads, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. So says the Gemara, where exactly is this going to play itself? The Gemara says, it's talking about where a person's not bringing his own carbon toida. Reuven has a friend Shimon, and Shimon has to bring a carbon toida. And Reuven says, I'm going to do Shimon a favor. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring on his behalf, I'm going to bring lachmi toida for him. Okay, says, how does that change anything? So if at the end of the day, somebody has to bring a carbon toida and that person can't be yoitza with the seer. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm a liftar. What he never said that he wants. This person never said he's going to use these breads so that his friend shouldn't patter his obligation to bring a carbon toida with it. Rather, he just said that I know my friend is bringing a carbon toida. I'm going to add to his carbon toida in addition to what he has to bring. I'm going to add some breads. And the breads I'm going to add are going to be either mina chametz or mina matzah. That was the shayla. The shayla is, can you add it on or could you not add it on? But you're right. You can't fulfill an obligation of Lachmi Toida with this seer, because at the end of the day, if you have a chiv to bring a carbon Toida, you have to do what the Torah tells you to do. It's 40 breads, 4 different minim, 3 of them are matzah, 10 of them are chametz. There's no way you could be yitza with anything that is a suffix. Either way, again, so the theme here is a digression. We have a significant digression between here and the end of the parak. The last Mishnah said, Kasha b'toyrim pasal b'bnei yoyna. Kasha b'bnei yoyna pasal b'toyrim. Again, why are we talking about these birds? Because these are the two birds that are kasha to be brought as oifos in the Beis HaMikdash. We're learning chulin, not kachin, but the Mishnah had digressed and compared the halachas of shchitas oif chulin versus malikas oif kachin. But we had this idea, what's kasha to this is possible to that, and what's possible to this is kasha to that. So on that note, says the Mishnah, kasha be para, possible be egl. Kasha be egla, possible be para. So para in this Mishnah means para aduma. And egla in this Mishnah means egla arufa. The way that you kill, the way you slaughter the para aduma does not work if you're trying to behead the egla arufa. And the way that the egla arufa was beheaded, that method would not work for the para aduma. And the Brice explains, Son of Rabban, para v'shchita k'sheira barifa psul. The Torah says that the para aduma required shchita. In fact, not only did the para aduma require shchita, but the Gemara says the para aduma, the shchita had to be done by a koyen, a lazar v'chuka k'sivba, and even though shchita lava voidehi. So shchita ordinarily is kasha bizarre, but the para aduma, ironically, did the shchita had to be done dafka with. But either way, para b'shchita k'sheira b'arifa p'sula. What if they did an arifa? What if they took the cleaver that was used to behead the egla arufa, and that's the way they killed the para aduma? That's not going to be okay. Egla b'arifa k'sheira b'shchita p'sula. And the egla is just the opposite. The egla, the Torah says, v'arfu. You have to behead. It doesn't use a word, the lashon shchita. Uses a different word. Thus, egla b'arifa k'sheira b'shchita p'sula. Nimsus, what comes out is kasha b'para, pasul b'egla. Kasha b'egla, pasul b'para. Says the Gemara, v'tei para k'sheira b'arifa mikal v'chayim. I don't understand. L'chayim, you should be able to do arifa with the para adumba, kal v'chayim. U'ma egla shle huchshu b'shchita, huchshu b'arifa. Madach egla, where you can't do shchita, you can do arifa. Para shle huchshu b'shchita. A para where you could do shchita, ain't no idein, shle huchshu b'arifa. If you could do shchita for the para, certainly you should be able to do arifa. On macro, the pasuk says v'shachat. It says v'shachat regarding the para aduma, and it says the word chuka. So chuka is one of the magic words that come up a lot in kachin. V'shchita in barifa loy. What does chuka teach me? Ma'akiv. So v'shachat and v'chuka. It has to be that way. There is no option to do it in any way other than shchita. So even though based on the midah, one of the Yudgul will read the Shatar in the Dreshers Pam of Kal V'chaymer, you would say that if you could do Shechita by the Parah Aduma, you could certainly do Arifa with the Parah Aduma. But at the same time, it says V'shachat and it says V'chuka. We learn from there V'shechita and B'arifa loy. V'ayta Gemara V'chaleichet Chesib V'chuka loy Dashin at Kal V'chaymer. Is that true? If the word Chuka is so strong, meaning Chuka always means Ma'akev, but it means Ma'akev on such a level that it takes away our ability to even darshan a Kal V'chaymer. I mean, you can't darshan a Kal V'chaymer to add something to what's mefurish in a pasuk. Once it says chuka, can't be. V'gav yem ha'kipurim, d'chsev be'chuka. But yem kippur, d'avoydim yem kippur, we know everything is Ma'akev. And the reason is because it says chuka. V'tan yulim to the b'raisa v'aso chatas, ha'goyrol oysa chatas, v'in Hashem oysa chatas. So when the Kohen Gadol on yem kippur took the two seerim, one was going to go l'Hashem, it was going to be brought as a regular chatas pnimit, and the other one was going to go l'azazel. So the pasuk says, what determined which sa'ir went l'Hashem and which sa'ir went l'azazel? The goyrel. Ha-goyrel oisachatas, ve'in Hashem oisachatas. She'yochav aloidino. The goyrel says, the braiso, you would think, mikal v'choymer, that if the Kohen Gadol didn't use a goyrel to determine the l'Hashem and the l'azazel, but rather he did it in the conventional method. He said, this one should be l'Hashem, this one should be l'Azazel. You would think it would work. Why? Kal v'choymer. U'mabim l'akum shalakid d'shagar o'kid d'shashem. Throughout Seder Kachim, no such thing as using a geyrel to determine hektish. How do you make something hektish? You say with your mouth that you want this to be hektish. So makom shekidush hageyrel in adin shekidush Hashem talmud lemin. That's why the Torah had to write extra words. So chatos, and we learn from there hageyrel oisa chatos ve'in Hashem oisa chatos. So you see that we need a pasuk to tell me that if the Kohen Gadol wants to determine L'Hashem, L'Azazel, not through Geirul, but rather through Hilchas Nedarim, by simply stating that this should be L'Hashem and this one should be L'Azazel, it's not okay. But you need a pasuk for it. Halav, time of the Kasar Rechman of Asol Chatz. Halav Hachi, but had I not had the pasuk, Darshinon Kal V'Chaymer, I would have darshined Kal V'Chaymer. What's the kasha? The kasha is that it says chukah by the avodah of Yom Kippur. And if chukah means that whatever it says in the parasha is ma'akev, and I can't even darshan a kal v'chomer to be marbe something more than it says in the pasuk. Because no, if this is what it says, this is the way it's done. Well, I hear it says make a gairo, but I have a kal v'chomer that I don't have to make a gairo. No, it says gairo, it says chukah. Chukah means ma'akev. So what do I need a pasuk to tell me that I can't make the lashem and the lazazel with Hilchas Nadarim? It says chukah. Elamai, what do you see from here? That even though it says chukah, but there's still Yud Gimel Midah Shatar in the Drash Hashem. There's still Kavachayim and there's Hekish and there's Binyanav and there's Gzereshav. You still have Yud Gimel Midah. Chukah doesn't take away the ability to darshan Yud Gimel Midah Shatar in the Drash Hashem. If that's the case, as it relates to the chukah that it says by the Avodim Yom Kippur, the same is going to be true by Parah Aduma. So again, Hadra Kushyo Leduchte, Vitehe Parak Sheira Barifa Mikavachayim. The Mishnah says, Kasha Bepara, Pasal Be'egla, Kasha Be'egla, Pasal Barufa, meaning that you could only do shechita with the paraduma, but you can't kill the paraduma with arifa. L'chayr, why not? Why don't you make a kavachayim? If arifa works for the egla arufa, where shechita doesn't work, then certainly the paraduma, which has shechita, should have arifa. So the Gemara says you have to say another reason. Mi'at rachmana gabi egla. In the parash of egla arufa, it says ha arufa with a hey ayidi, and we learn from this zayis barifa ve'nacheres barifa. So it's a limud not in the parash of paraduma, but in the parash of egla arufa. Only that. There's no other animal where you can ever kill with this process of arifa, and it should work okay. Therefore, even though based on the mid of kal v'chaymer, you would think that the paraduma should be kosher arifa, but at the end of the day, it's not kosher. Says the Gemara, what about in the reverse? But hey, egla ksher b'shchita me kal v'chaymer. The Mishnah also said egla has to be done dafka b'arifa. You can't do it with shchita. L'chura kal v'chaymer ma parash l'yuchshu b'arifa ksher b'shchita. Egla sheksher b'arifa ain't it dinshuk huchshu b'shchita. You have this new mechudish way of killing the egla arufa. So you would think kal v'chaymer, the conventional way, should work. You certainly should be able to do shechita with the egla rufa, and it should be kosher. On my cross, it says v'arfu ha'egla, and we learn from there ba'arifa in b'shechita lai. Being that it says v'arfu ha'egla, we learn no, it has to be non dafka arifa, but not with shechita. Either way, exhale and two, maybe three ha'aras. So the first thought. So the last Gemara that we just learned was comparing and contrasting the Parah Aduma and the Egla Arufa. The Mishnah said that the Parah Aduma, the Torah says, needed to be killed via the method of Shechita. It's actually a big Chiddush. It had to be done dafka with the Kohen. And whereas ordinarily, even Shechita in the Beis HaMikdash, Shechita Lav Avoyde, Shechita Ksher Bazar, but when it came to the Parah Aduma, you needed Shechita with the Kohen. Elaza V'chukah Ksivba. But regardless, the Parah Aduma needed to be killed, slaughtered, in the conventional method of shechita, whereas the egla arufa, that had to be done not with shechita, but rather that had to be done with arifa. And the Gemara said that based on the mid of kal v'chaymer, you would think that the paraduma should be kosher arifa, and the egla arufa should be kosher with shechita. And the Gemara said, you're right, but at the end of the day, this psukim, and the psukim teach me that par is dafka b'shechita, and the egla arufa is dafka b'arifa. What was the pasuk that the Gemara brought that the egla arufa has to be done dafka ba'arifa, not b'shechita? This was the last line Gemara that we learned. Amakra va'arfu ha'egla ba'arifa in b'shechita lai. What do you see in that pasuk? If you take a look at Rashi, va'arfu ha'egla, zoktei look at Rashi, shina aleh hakasuv la'akif. That really, it's not that pasuk that the Gemara is bringing is the second time it says in the Torah va'arfu that you're supposed to do arifa. And we know there's a rule in Kachim, shina kasuv la'akif, that anytime the Torah says something twice, it's not just the katchila, it's ma'akif. Now, really, that's a big chiddush, shina hakasav la'akif, because ordinarily you don't need shina hakasav to be ma'akif. Right? Your person can't say, you know, I know it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat whatever, but it only says once. So once, it's the katchila. It's a very nice thing to do. If you show it to me twice, then I'll have a shina hakasav la'akif. No. Usually, if the Torah says something, it's ma'akif. Unless you have a real reason to assume that the Torah didn't mean at le'ikuva, of course you assume that it means le'ikuva. It's dafka by kachim, there's a chiddush, that if it says something once, we assume it's only the katchila. Kachim has its own Shulchan Aruch. One of the important rules are shina kasav la'akif. It comes up over and over and over and over and over again in all the drushes and the limudim of Zvachim and Menachas that it needs to be. Says the Gemara, you want to know how I know arifa is ma'akev, because it doesn't just say it once, it says it twice. And the truth is that at first glance, it would therefore seem that the egla arufa was kachim. If the makar that Arif is ma'akev, because it says it not once, twice. And Rashi invokes the terminology that's used throughout, say, the kachim of Shina Kasav La'akev. It certainly sounds like what Rashi is saying is that this is a kachim sugya, and I have it twice. Once I have it twice, talach is, it's going to be ma'akev. But the truth is, if you think about it, is that so pashat? This egel that was brought during the Egla Arufa process, was it kachim or was it not kachim? Now, at first glance, it sounds like it, right? It was brought for kapara, kapra lamchi Yisrael. That was the nusach that the Zikne Yair used to say, and it was an animal. But really, after further analysis, it's not so clear. Right, what happened? What happened was they found a corpse, ki matzi chalal, and they don't know who killed this person. So the Torah describes a very esoteric, ritualistic kind of process. The Zakenim, the elders that live in the city closest to where this dead body was found, have to go out to a nachal eson. It has to be a place where nothing ever grew, and they have to take a certain type of egel. A calf has to be of a certain age. They go, they recite a text, and they kill this calf. They kill it. How do they kill it? Arifa, using this very, very precise process. And they say that by us doing this, somehow there should be a kapara in the ilamos for this terrible avera of shvichas damim that took place. Now, this did not happen in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no mention anywhere of this going down as a kachim diga halacha. So if that's the case, at first glance, you could certainly argue that maybe what's going on over here is not really kachim at all. It sounds like kachim. I mean, from a distance, from a 20,000 foot view, it seems like a kachim diga parsha. But when you start going through the details, what's kachim over here? It's not going on in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no mention anywhere of being makdish this animal. What kedusha does it have? It's a chatas? It's an oil? What is it exactly? So Lachura, Rashi says, Shina Kasav La'akev, it seems like it's a little bit of a chiddush. I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer called Nachal Eson. So it's a sefer on Egla Rufa. And in Simin Hay, in a sefer Nachal Eson, he has a tremendous arichos. Yesh Lachkar, Egla Rufa. Is it kachim or is it not kachim? And Kedarkei Bakoidesh, he brings so many rayas. But just one ha'ara that he brings, and that's a very well-known Gemara. A Gemara Mesachta Avodazara, Daf Chavtes Mebeis, it actually came up in the Daf not so long ago. The Gemara over there is discussing Yayin Esach. And Yayin Esach, of course, is Aser Beshtia. It's also Aser Ba'ano. Says the Gemara, Yayin Minolin. How do you know that Yayin Esach is Aser Ba'ano? Amar Rabbi Baravu Amakra. It's learned out from the following Pasuk. Asher Chelev Zivachema Yoychelu Yishtu Yayin Nesicham. The Pasuk compares its Makish, Yayin Esach, and Karbonis that are brought Lavoi Dazar. Ma'azevach Aser Ba'ano. So just like if somebody brings a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, it's also Ba'anah. Af Yayinami, also Ba'anah. So wine is also going to be, Ayin Esach is also Ba'anah. V'zevach Kufim Inol. How do you know that Zevach is also Ba'anah? It's learned out from a different pasuk. V'yitzmedu lebal pa'ar, v'yoychlu mizivchei mesim. Ma mes also Ba'anah, just like a mace is also Ba'anah. Af Zevach Nami, also Ba'anah. Zevach is like a mace. U'mes Kufim Inol. How do you know that a mace is also Ba'anah? As Yisham Sham, Yegla Rufa. It's learned out from Xer Yisham, Megla Rufa. Xivach, it says Vatama Sham Miriam. V'xiv Hasam, and it says V'arfu Sham, it's Egla Benach. Ma'ala Halan, also Ba'anah. Afkanami Asabahana. Says the Gemara, bottom line, how do you know that Yayin Nesach is Asabahana? Because Yayin Nesach is hookish to a Zevach that's brought Lavayda Zara. A Zevach that's brought Lavayda Zara is hookish to a mace, and a mace is learnt out Gzeirishava from Eglarufa. Now we know one of the more complicated sugis of Mesachtes Zvachim was with Perik Ezeu Neshach, was Dover Halomid Behekish. So ordinarily, in Kol HaTorah Kula, you can learn A from B, and then B from C, and C from D, right? This from a Hekish, that from a Gzeir Shavah, this from a Kavach Chaymer, this from a Binyan Av. You could have this long shalsheles of joy. It all works. It's fine. As long as everything stims, it's not a big deal. But in Kachem, it's not so simple. There's a rule, Dover Alamid Behekish, Einoi Chayzer Malamid Behekish. And then there's a whole sugya where the Gemara gets involved. What about a Dover Halamid Begzer Shava? Dover Halamid Begzer Shava, is that Chayzer Malamid Behekish? And one side on the Gemara, that's not something that works. If that's the case, Haimis Hagoy Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, how do you understand this Gemara by the Zara right here? If you're going to tell me that Egla Rufa is Kachim, said, how could Egla Rufa teach me that just like it's Asa Bahana, so to a mace is Asa Bahana, then a mace is going to teach my idea Hekish. If a mace is Asa Bahana, then Zivche Mason, quote unquote. Then if you bring a carbon to a Avodah Zarah, it's Asa Bahana, which is then going to teach me, oh, if a Zevach Avodah Zarah is Asa Bahana, then Yayin Nesach is also Asa Avodah Zarah. You're going to trip up with that sugya in Ezeu Neshach. And Reb Chaim makes the cheshbon according to which we shine him, it's a problem. But the bottom line is, this is something that you find in a few places in Shas, where the Gemara learns halachas from Egla Rufa. Bishloim, if it's a chul in the Geparsha, then I I understand. But if it's a kachem to get parsha, then at first glance we're gonna have a little bit of an issue. That's one of Reb Chaim's rayas. Just one ha'ara I was thinking is that, you know, the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos famously discusses the Sar La'azazel. So the Gemara just mentioned the Sar La'azazel. On Yom Kippur, there were two Seirim that was brought. Sar Echel Hashem, V'sar Echel La'azazel. And Ibn Ezra says that the Sar Echel Hashem was a regular carbon. What about the Sar Echel La'azazel? So it says that Ibn Ezra, I can't tell you what it is. Now, if you're smart, you'll realize that it's not a regular carbon, because if it was a regular carbon, it would also be La'ashem. Right? Sar Echel La'ashem, and the other Sar, it doesn't go La'ashem. It goes La'azazel. Says that Ibn Ezra, he gives you remazim, hints, and clues, 33, when you'll be 33 years old, he doesn't want to tell you what it is. But the Ramban went on, he says, Ani Aruch Lagal Soide, I'm going to tell you what it is. He says, the Sar La'azazel wasn't a carbon, wasn't a krovat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a krovat to Azazel. One was Lashem, the other one was not Lashem, it was Azazel. He says, Azazel is Sari Shalesov, it's the Samach Mem, and being that it's Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, the Samach Mem is Mekatrig, so that the Yidden shouldn't get Kapara. So what we do is we give him some Sheikhat, right, with Esav, it always goes with Sheikhat. This is in Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Vayishlach Yaakov Mincha, Maisav, a similar banim, that with Esav, it smears with Sheikhat. And that's what we're doing. We're being Meshachi on the Sari level. Sari Shalesov is getting Sheikhat, we're giving him a carbon, that's the Sar Lazazel, it's like this, we should get Kapara. At the very end of this shtickle, says the Ramban, "Umepnei ze amru Rabbi Seino." He says, "With this, you could understand the oimek in Divrei Chazal, the eschu koisei." Say Chazal to teres koyanim, "Dvarim sheitzahar mekatrimim." What's a chayk? Chayk is the mitzvah that the yitzahar drives us crazy. Why? Levisha shatnes upara aduma v'sar mishdalech. They come after us. The umay sa'ulam do, and the yitzahar says, "Really, you keep mitzvahs? What are you doing? You doing shatnes? Does that make sense to you? You're bringing a para aduma? Does that make sense? The sar mishdalech. You bring the sar mishdalech." Says the Ramban, "V'loy matzu bekarbanis tshuva l'umay sa'ulam alein." Why don't they bring? They have a problem with the para aduma and the sar mishdalech. What about a regular carbon? How come they have no issue with a regular carbon? He says, "No. V'loy matzu bekarbanis tshuva l'umay sa'ulam alein. Kihem alish." But a regular carbon, they understand. Regular carbon is a carbon. They're only coming after us with the Sar Mishdalech. Why? Because it looks like Avodah Zarah. We look like we're pagans. What are we doing? We're going to a mountain. This is not in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't even have to be a Kayan, the person that threw the Sar down the mountain. And we're bringing a Hakrava. It looks like we're doing what they're doing. And as a result, that's something that they attack us for. And the same is true with the Par Aduma. Either way, that's the yisoid, says the Ramban, of why this is true. Why they come after us, not for all karbanos. They understand karbanos. They get it. It's a temple. It's a house of worship. But the Parah Aduma and the Sar Mishdalech, that's not something that makes sense to them. And as a result, that's what they're minus. So it bothered me. Why didn't the Teres Kayanim also mention Egla Rufa? If you're going to sit down now and you're going to write down karbonos, quote unquote, that were brought outside of the Makom HaMikdash. So you're going to get the Par Aduma. That's true. It was brought on Har HaZeisim. It was on Har HaMishcha. You're going to have the Sar that was brought in the mountain in the Midbar. You have the Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa was also. You're bringing an animal. You're doing a Shechita. There's this whole process. Kapra Lamcha Yisrael. How come the Egla Rufa wasn't brought? Maybe it's a Raya that the Egla Rufa wasn't Kachem. If it was Kachem, then it's a Kasha. I don't understand. You're bringing a carbon out. See, the Sar Mishdalech was a carbon Chatos. The Sar Mishdalech was a carbon. You had two Seirim. They were two Chatois. They didn't even make a girl to the Sar. Which one was going to be Lashem and which one was going to be Lazazel? But they were certainly both Karbonis, right? The Parah Aduma also. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Kachem Ben Agabayis, Kachem Esbeah, Chattas Kayu Rachmanu throughout Shas. The Parah Aduma Shaloy Lashma is possible because the Chattas, right? Chattas Kayu Rachmanu. But the Egla Aru wasn't Kav. So if it wasn't Kachem, it's Gishmak. Why the Teres Kayanim doesn't mention this? It could be this Ramban, this Diuk in the Ramban. The Ramban brings this Teres Kayanim that says the Umay Sa'ilam, Amashiv and Aleim, Dafka Parah Aduma and Sarah Mishkal. You would think that the Egla Rufa belongs on this list. Why not? Maybe it's because it's like the crowd was, what about this Rashi? You have a Mufurish Rashi. Right, Rashi says Shina Kosov Lakiv. Doesn't Shina Kosov Lakiv sound like it's Kachim? But the Teretz is Pasha, says Hagoyim Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He says the Teretz is because the Gemara really had a Kal V'chaymer. There was a Kal V'chaymer over here that said that you should learn out that Shechita should work for the Egla Rufa. I mean, Shechita always works, so you would think. By the Egla Rufa, if you could do a Rifa, certainly Shechita. So to answer the Kal V'chaymer, the Torah went ahead and told me
Arifa a second time, so that you should have learned from Kal V'chomer. Meaning, had you not had a Kal V'chomer, for Arifu one time would have been enough to teach me that Arifa is Ma'akev, because it's Taka, not a Kachim de Gebarsha. And if the Egel Arufa is not Kachim, then I don't need a Shina HaKasav La'akev. The only reason we need a Shina HaKasav La'akev is because otherwise you'd have the Kal V'chomer. We simply needed to address the Kal V'chomer. That's the first Tara. The second Tara is, so we said you can't do Shchita with the Egel Arufa. Egel Arufa had to be done dafke by Arifa, but you were not able to do Shchita. Stating that, there's a very interesting Tosfos, and this Tosfos is in Masechtes Yuma, Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph. It's also later in Masechtes Chulin, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Just a little bit of a background. The context is Yuma Samech Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara is discussing that there's a psul of Mechusser Zman when it comes to the Sarah Meshtalech. So yesterday we spoke about Mechusser Zman, that Carbon has to be at least 8 days old. It's miyei mashmini v'hala, yeiratza. It has to experience one Shabbos, just like a child has to experience a Shabbos before it has bris milah. Taz says that's the makar to the shalom zachar. So too, there's an idea that a carbon, it has to greet the matruna before it's able to come lifnei hamelech as a carbon. So there's a concept of miyei mashmini v'hala yeiratza. And the Gemara says that this halacha, miyei mashmini v'hala yeiratza, is true even for the sarah mishtalech. Sarah mishtalech was a carbon. And being that it was on some level treated like a carbon, so there's a concept of Mechusser Zman. Says the Gemara, not only is there a concept of Mechusser Zman as it relates to Sar HaMishtaleach, there's also a concept of Oysoi Ve'espinoi Loisishchatu B'yoy Mechad. So we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to shech a mother and its son on the same day. Rava in Yuma Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph says that the same is going to be true for a Sar Mishtalech as well. So we're coming in really in the middle of a sugya. So it's just one excerpt. Rava Amar that what would be if somebody had a Chayla B'teich Beisai since Yom Kippur, not a Shechta Yom Kippur. So technically this conversation should be moot, but no, there was a Chayla She'esh B'Sakana, and the doctors and the rabbis all said, no, we have no choice. We have to Shecht an animal on Yom Kippur for this Chayla She'esh B'Sakana. Now it turns out that this animal, how this happened, but this animal's son was the Sar HaMishtaleach. So what do you do now? There's a halacha of Oisei Vesbenoi Loisishchatu B'yoy Mechad. Says Rav, it's a problem. So, bro, you cannot bring the. You're going to have another sar now. You can't use it because it's halacha. You're not allowed to shech. You just shechted the mother. You can't shech the mother and the son on the same day. Freak the Gemara, the obvious question. Why is it a problem? The Torah says, this is not shechita. Ami b'mar Rava says the Gemara. You ready? D'chiyasoi l'tzuk zoihi shchitasoi. It's true. It's true. It's not shchita. What you're going to do is you're going to push it down the mountain. But pushing the sar hamishtaleach down the mountain is the equivalent thereof of shchita. And if it says in the Torah oisay ves benoy leisishchatu b'yomecha, it doesn't mean shchita dafka. It means whatever you're supposed to do with this animal. And if what you're supposed to do with this animal is d'chiyasoi l'tzuk, then d'chiyasoi l'tzuk zui shchitasoi, and it's going to be included in the loisaseh of oisay ves benoy leisishchatu b'yomecha. What came to mind was the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yedzayin Amanal, the Gemara that we learned last week, where the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yekiva, there was no shchitas Chulin when the Yidden went in the Midbar. Nechira was okay. It says, Atzoyin v'habokar yishachet and parashas ba'al loyitzchel. Right, Moshe says, you're going to bring slav? Who's going to shecht all these animals? Frank the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yekiva, we don't shecht chulin anyways. So says the Gemara, no. That Nechira before Matan Torah was shchita. Shchita doesn't mean shchita the way we know it. That's only shchita because that's the only way you're allowed to do it. But if there was another method, then that would also be okay. Not only would it be okay, but it would be inclusive in the term, in the technical legal definition of what shchita is. It says the Gemara, d'chiyasoi l'tzuk, zui shchitasoi, and when it says, oisai vesbenoi leisishchatu b'dei mechad, you're able to do it with shchita as well. Zok toisis, that if that's true, as it relates to d'chiyasoi l'tzuk, I think the same is going to be true with regards to Egel Arufa as well. Meaning, after the Ziknei Ho'ir went, and they beheaded the eagle in the Egel Arufa process, I think, says Tosfos, Arifasa Zuhi Shchitasa. And if there's a halacha of Oisai Ve'espinoi as it relates to the Sar HaMishtaleach, you can have a halacha of Oisai Ve'espinoi as it relates to the Egel Arufa as well. And says Tosfos, I think I have a raya. I have a raya from the Gemara Masecht Zvachim Daf Ayin Amud Beis in Perek Chatas Oif. The Gemara over there says that after the Ziknei Ho'ir did the Egel Arufa, so even though the eagle is Asabana, etc., but it's not not tame. There's no tumas nevela. And the lashon haGemara is arifasa mitaheres midei nevela. That the arifa of the egla rufa is mitaher this ego from egla rufa. Why is it mitaher from egla rufa? Shchita is mitaher from tumas nevela. Shchita is mitaher from nevela. A nevela is tum. In addition, for nevela being asa b'achila, right? We know this. It's also mitame b'mago b'masa. If something is shchut, it's not mitame b'mago b'masa. L'chayra shchita has an ability to be mitzi something from tumas nevela. But arifa, why should arifa be mitaheres midei nevela? Says Tosfos, you know what the pshat is? I think the teretz is this Gemara in Yuma Daf Samech Tal Rav Menachem. That the Gemara says d'chiyasa letzuk zui shchitasa arifasa, arifasa zui shchitasa. And if shchita is mitaher midei nevela, then l'chayra arifa is going to be mitaher midei nevela as well. And if that's the case, says Tosfos, who adin, you're going to have an oisay v'espanoi leisishcha tu b'yay mechad. So just two ha'aras. The first ha'ara is that we spoke out of Teres Chaim in the beginning of the week, where the Teres Chaim said that the reason shchita is mitaheres midei nevela has nothing to do with the shchita per se. But the point is, because shchita is a mitzvah. I mean that shchita is a mitzvah, so a yid does a mitzvah, the koichoi satuma, the sitra achra, the malach hamuvas, they all run away. They're bereach min akedusha. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So if an animal dies, it dies al yedei the malach hamuvas. Like the Gemara says, a perikah machkid, malach hamuvas, mali hacha, mali hasa. Being that the malach hamuvas is tuma, that brings tumas nevela. That's why when a person dies, there's tumas meis. It all comes mikayach the malach hamuvas. But if you do shchita, being that shchita is a mitzvah, so the mitzvah shchita causes the malach hamuvas to run away, and that's why there's no tumas nevela. If that's the case, I don't think you have a right from the Gemara in Zvachim Davayin Amid Beis, from the fact that the Gemara says arifa mitaheres midei nevela, that arifasa zui shchitasa. Maybe arifasa is not shchita. Meaning, who said arifa shchita? Why is there no tumas nevela? Because even if arifa is not shchita, arifa is a mitzvah. The Torah says this is what you're supposed to, no less a mitzvah than shchita schulin, right? So if shchita schulin is mitaheres midei nevela, why? Simply because of the kedusha of the act of shchita schulin. The yid is following yoyri yoyri katzmicha, right? He's not just going ahead and living his life b'shviris libi eilech. No, he understands before you meet a chicken, you have to follow a process. He's being a heilig yid, and as a result, the koich hatumah can't deal with this. He runs away. There's no malach hamavas. No malach. No tumas nevela. So why should a rifa be any different? Tosfos is saying that if there's no tumas nevela by the egla rufa, oh, that's a raya. That just like the Gemara says, d'chiyasay letzuk zui shchitasay, that arifasa zui shchitasay as well. Maybe there's no raya. Maybe arifa is not shchita. So as it relates to oisay ves benoy lois. Maybe you're not going to have that halacha. With regards to arifa mitaris midei nevela, that's because why should arifa be any worse than shchita? Why is shchita mitaris midei nevela? If it was a din that shchita is mitaris midei nevela, then it's geshmak. Then you have a raya from a gemara in Zvachim that arifa must be shchita. If it's shchita with regards to there being no tumas nevela, let it be shchita regarding oisayv esmenay. Like sishcha to be yemecha. But loyte teres chayim, the reason shchita is mitaris midei nevela, it's not because of the ritual process of shchita. It's simply because shchita is a mitzvah. If shchita is a mitzvah, then why should arifa be any different? L'chura, arifa is not any less a mitzvah. That's the first aura. The second aura is the Minchas Chinuch's famous kasha. And the Minchas Chinuch is in the end of mitzvah nun beis, and his kasha is based on a gemara, Masechtes Bava Kama, daf mem aleph amir aleph, huva berashi ala teira, in parshas mishpatim. The pasuk over there says, v'chiyigach shoyr es ish. Oh yes, Yishav Ameis. Feels like a long time ago. Sokol Yisokel Hashar. V'lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi. Ubal Hashar Naki. So Kiyigach Shar Ish. Shar killed a person. So immediately, Sokol Yisokel Hashar. Says the Torah, we're at the flesh. Tachlis, could we eat the meat? V'lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Freak the Gemara. Mimash Meshinem HaSokol Yisokel Hashar. Eni Yedei Shenevele. V'nevele Asur Ba'achilo. Ma'atam Eloi Ma'yeyachel Es Besaroi. Why does the Torah have to say Yeyachel Es Besaroi? Says the Gemara, Magad Lucha HaKosav. You know it's coming to teach me. Shem Shachtoi La'achar Shenigmar Dinoi. Also, it's coming to teach me an unbelievable chiddush. A chiddush that we all know from learning Bava Kama. And that is that a Shor HaNiskel is also Ba'achilo, it's also Ba'ano. Meaning, even if you would shech the Shor HaNiskel, once it's Nigmar Dinoi Leskila, if you shechte with a chalif and with the Shia and Adrasa and the chalif, you do everything perfect, doesn't matter. Still also Ba'achilo. For the Yochel, sorry, it's not referring to after the Skila. After the Skila, it's an Avela. It didn't have Shechita. What it means is before, Freite, Michas Chinuch, a bomba kasha. And he concludes this kasha as Vitzorich Ian Rochav. So you see, Tzorich in Godel, Tzorich in Katan, Vitzorich Ian Reish Chesves. But either way, it says that Minchas Chinuch, I never understood this Gemara. You have a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Tal Ramad Aleph, where the Gemara says, Dichi Yasai Litzuk. zuhi shchitasai. That taking the sar lazazel and pushing it down the mountain is the equivalent of shchita, even though it's not shchita, but it doesn't matter. Zuhi shchitasai. It's a meisa shchita. There's no tumas nevela. There's, if it wasn't kachem, it'd be mutar b'achila maybe. You have the halach of oisai vespenoi, like sishchatu b'yaymechad. The entire hilcha shchita applies. It was a meisa shchita done. Dichiyasai letzuk, zuhi shchitasai. The same is true, says Tosis, regarding the egla rufa. Says Tosis, if dichiyasai letzuk, zuhi shchitasai, arifasa zuhi shchitasai. And Tosis, by the way, have a raya from a gemara in Zvach and Dafayim. We see that arifa is mataris, we deyna vela. So you see that arifasa zuhi shchitasai as well. What's the sadashava between dichiyasai letzuk and arifasa? You're doing what the Torah told you to do. What's shchita? Shchita is the Torah says kill it this way. Okay, here the Torah said kill it al yidei tchiyah letzuk. Here the Torah said kill it al yidei arifa. And as long as you do what the Torah says you're supposed to do, that's the technical definition of what shchita doesn't mean. Shchita's right some mind. It's not the point. The point is it's following what the Torah said. And if it's following what the Torah said, tchiyasa letzuk zuhi shchitasa, arifasa zuhi shchitasa. If that's the case, freitim mechaschinach, there would have been a real havam, you know, to think that if it says suckle you suckle hashar, maybe you're allowed to eat the meat. Because why don't you say skilasa zuhi shchitasa? What's the difference between the skila, where the Torah says stone this shard, versus where the Torah says tchiyasa letzuk, or the Torah says va'arfu asayit? In all cases, you're doing what the Torah told you to do. And if you're following the mitzvah Hashem, and that's the definition of shchita, so l'chayr vas freik the gemara, debi mashmash in amas sokel yisokel ashar, eni yadeh shenevelehi, unevel asur b'achila, zokta mechachina, no! Eni yadeh, yeah, eni yadeh, I taka don't know that it's asur b'achila. What do you mean? You didn't do shchita. I know I didn't do shchita, but I did what the Torah told me to do. I did skila, and the Torah said sakli yisakel ashar. And as long as I do what the Torah says, I know from Yuma Samach Dalet and Toysus over there, and Toysus and Chulun Daf Bebez, who has arrived from Zvach and Daf Ayin, Kant Shas. I know that as long as I do what the Torah tells me to do, that is the legal technical definition of shchita. So if that's the case, l'chayre vas zok de gemara, that once you do skila with a shar niskal, it's pshita that it's an avela, and I don't even need a pasuk to tell me v'lo yachlas psara. So much so that the gemara darshan the words of Layachas Basare and teaches me halacha revacha b'Yisrael that a sharaniskal is asa b'achila asa b'anah even if you do shchita with it before the skila. L'chayra, maybe the reason the Torah had to say v'lo yachalas b'saray is l'haitzi miliban, that you shouldn't think that t'chiyasa l'tzuk z'chui shchitasa, arifasa z'chui shchitasa, maybe skilasa z'chui shchitasa as well. Either way, a festa kasha l'michas chinuch v'ru'uyin hadvarim l'misha amram.